not because of what you're doing, but because what he has done for you. Amen. That's what makes you holy. Only participation that you have in the whole process is to accept. That is the easiest part. Once that you accept, then you're in a holy business. It is always wonderful to be here. To this, you know, sometimes in life, it is wonderful to be anywhere except the grave. Any other place is nice. Okay, today we are in a time of the year. I don't know how many of you have heard over and over again about the dead. They are talking more about the dead than the living. And I'm not talking about any politicians. I'm talking about, you know, they are talking about the dead all the time. I have a, we live in a place. Do you know where Palomar Hospital is? We live in a, some mountains close by there behind the hospital. We can see the hospital every day, and we hear the helicopter every time that comes by. So we live close by. The whole hill looks like a cemetery now. You know, there is graves. People are very proud to put graves in front of their front yard. We're going to be talking about more about this next Sabbath. I want you to be here. Do you know why? And I want you to bring your children. Because the title that we chose for next Sabbath is Passover or Come Over. So I want you to come and see what is the connection between Passover and Come Over. And we're going to make some analysis, biblical analysis, how this is not coincidental that those two titles collide with each other. And they have different meaning, different purpose, but they are coming in the same time. So you need to be here, and you need to bring some young people and some people that are probably are a little bit confused about what death is all about. Come next week. And I hope you'll be living and kicking well next week, so you come, okay? In our bulletin, what do you see in the cover of the bulletin? A rock. A rock that has been moved. So the title that we chose for this this message is Move the Stone. So you probably have an idea that we'll be talking about the story of Lazarus. This story is found only in the book of John. It is such a vital story, such a powerful story. I am shocked that the other evangelists decide not to address it. But John not only talked about it, but he spent a whole chapter about it. So please, open your Bibles. Do please, open your Bibles. And if you did not bring one, your Bible is feeling very lonely at home. And that's not fair. You come here to church, you see all these good-looking people around you, and your Bible is all there by itself at home. So make sure that wherever you go, take the Word with you. You know, you'll be amazed that just the fact that you walk around with a Bible, that tells someone something special about you. So whatever people see, that's how they analyze. They sense the message, and they know that you are going somewhere because you're walking around all dressed up, and you have the Bible. And by the way, if you all dressed up like this on the Sabbath and you have the Bible, they know that you're not going to court. So at least they know that you're going to church. So it's a good idea for your neighbors to see you with the Bible so they don't know that you're not in trouble. You're going to court. This day and age, only two places that you dress like this is go to court or, you know, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. John doesn't tell us more about anything else. If Martha and Mary, how old they were, why they are not married, were they widows? We don't know all the details. We do not know. John goes specific with one purpose. And I would like to call your attention before we read any other verse of this whole story. This whole story is in the Bible to witness about God. It is not about Lazarus. It's not about Jesus. It's all about God. And that's the purpose of Jesus telling us this story. And John sharing with us, he says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha, as we said before. Now continue. This is the Mary who later poured a very expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. And her brother, Lazarus, was sick. Verse 1 says, he was sick. Verse 2 says, he was sick. I guess we got the point. He was very sick. And it goes, it's going to mention again. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is, the first one says sick, the second one says sick, now it says very sick. So those, some of you here work as a nurse, you know when somebody says, oh, he's sick, it's, you know, everybody gets sick. Or, he's sick. A second time, then somebody says, he is very sick. You start to say, okay, do I need a mask? And immediately you step back and you are very cautious. Everybody, so they said, they sent a message to Jesus. Jesus was not in Judea. He was quite a few days, 2 days away from where the Bethany is. Bethany is just 2 miles from Jerusalem. It's almost the neighborhood, the same neighborhood. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. First time I read this, I says, excuse me? The guy is going to die. Why would Jesus say he's not going to die? You see, sometimes we hear things and we think that we heard well, but there is more into it. And says, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. What he means, he will die, but it's not going to end in death. There is something else there that will replace death. And so he sent a hint. No, it happened for the glory of God. So what is the purpose of the whole story? Here it says, it will happen for the glory of God. What does the word glory mean? Some people say glory is light. The word glory actually means character. The person, the identity, the persona. So when it says, for the glory of God, it says so that God can be revealed, so you have an idea who God is. Everybody blames God for all the death. You know, we hear people all the time, all the disaster in Florida, every disaster is a God. If you talk to the insurance company, they will say, oh, this is an act of God. They always blame God for destruction. And they do not realize that there is an individual that takes care of the destruction department. That is Abaddon, you know, the destroyer. God is not in the destroying business. And so this is a story to say, God is not in the death business. He is in the business of giving life. So it's all about life. Okay? So next one, it says, next verse. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. I don't know how many of you here had the experience before when you have something very urgent happen in your life. And you pray. And how soon do you want the answer to your prayer? Ahorita. Some of you got it, that know what that means. You see, the Hispanic, they don't say now. They say really, really squeeze that now to the maximum. So ahorita, now, at this moment, no other, I need now. And some of us try to boss God around by saying, Lord, I want, and make sure that he's gray and has this kind of wheels. And I need a 2023, not 2022. Won't do, it has to be 20. We are very specific. We're really demanding. We talk sometimes to God like we talk to people that we take for granted. And that is a bad business. is not right. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And they emphasize, remember, the friend that you love, your friend, the one that you love, is like almost blackmailing him, says, you know, don't forget, it's the one you love is in trouble. How many of us sometimes we approach God because we return tithe faithfully to the church? So we come to church faithfully. We have an office in the church. Sometimes we are ministers. Sometimes we have other positions. Sometimes we even go on mission trip we give money to the poor. We feed the homeless. And when we go before God, we are entitled to a very quick answer. I want now, Lord, because I paid my dues, now I am entitled. Do you know what we're entitled to? The wages of sin is death. That's the only thing we are entitled. Nothing else. Everything else is a gift, is an act of grace. Anything else, the only thing that we get that is not a grace is death. But besides that, everything is an act of grace. So, finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. I have been a pastor for quite a few years. And sometimes we do have unique characters in our churches that they take a different, a very unique approach how to deal with people in a position of authority. They like to object to everything. And if they say something and you repeat exactly what they say, I object. But I just repeat what you said. Oh, I changed my mind. Just continue so they can continue to have the right to object. Have you met people that object about everything? Sometimes very hungry for attention. Sometimes the people have very low self-esteem. And they are so demanding of that attention. They crave for it like they are starving. So please have compassion when somebody objects too much. Don't pick a fight with them because that's not productive for you. So just have compassion and give them a little time to reason. And if they don't reason, be wise, move on. Rabbi, which means teacher, they said, only a few days ago, they tried to kill you there. They tried to stone you. Doesn't make any sense for you to go back there. I don't think they have changed their mind. They still want to kill you. You are going, he says, are you going there again? Just to put it, of course, they were afraid too, because every time Jesus Christ was at risk, all the disciples were at risk as well. And so Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. At least it was in a desert, there is sometimes even more. During the day, people can walk safely. But not in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, not really. They can see because they have the light of the world. This world, yeah, the world is still the same one. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Wake up, everybody. You don't want to fall asleep. The Lazarus fall asleep. Why? Because Jesus was talking about death, but they didn't understand. And Jesus says, I'm going to go there to wake him up. Notice that Jesus Christ said that this was not going to end in death. It's just asleep. And then he continued by saying, the disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, that is good. Because what happens when you're sick? If you sleep, your immune system rebuilds and you get a better chance to get better. So they came to a single conclusion. If he's sleeping, good. That means that he's going to get better. He needs some rest. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was just sleeping. But then Jesus meant Lazarus was dead. Now, so Jesus told very clear to them, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there. Wow, what an interesting statement. My best friend just died. His sisters are desperate there because now what are they going to do in life without their beloved brother? All the friends crying, everybody, and Jesus says, I was glad I was not there. Why? Because there is more joy besides this. Sometimes we look to the horizon, we don't see far enough. And sometimes we have to travel a lot before we get to the place that says, wow, I wish I had been here sooner. Because now I can see, because I'm closer. And then it says, I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go to see him. Now, he is dead. He said, let's go to see him. Have you noticed something different than the way that typically people talk today? Let's go and see his body. He didn't say, let's go and see his body. He said, let's go to see him. In our culture, even Seventh-day Adventists, now we are being influenced this way. Sometimes we talk about the dead as the body. Where is the body? Oh, they took his body to the church. He took this body to the grave. No one can take a body to a church, to a grave. You take an individual. You never become a body. You're always an individual. According to scriptures, there is no such thing as the body. According to scriptures, you are an individual that has a body. But you are never just a body unless you are nobody. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go so we may die with him. Have you noticed the disciples, they always said, let's die with him. The one time they even took a sword and they went to fight, but then when things came, really, they run for cover. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, this is the village more or less, close by Jerusalem, 2 miles. And he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. I don't know how many of you here have visited a morgue before. No matter how much care they take for the dead, there is always a very unique smell. And if it's not, if no medication or anything, no procedure has been done, it is very, very, very bad smell. Bethany was only a few miles down, I already mentioned this, and it was two miles, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary on their loss. Many people were there. Sometimes people even use this as an attraction. It's very strange for me to say this, but sometimes people are so bored, there are not so many activities that people actually participate on those. They were there, they would sit down, they eat, they would talk, and they will cry a little bit, and they will cry a little bit more. And sometimes some people even paid groups, people, there were people for hire. They would dress all in black. They would stay in a corner of the and they will, cry time. And they will, and then, okay. Then they will now eat, and then we eat. Oh, cry time. They would, they were hired just to keep the mood, we're sad. And some people like attention, so they like to extend that as long as they can. And they took weeks sometimes to mourn their dead. It's just and when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, have you got the word that Jesus is coming yet? Have you heard that before? What happened when you hear that Jesus is coming? So Martha got an idea, Jesus is coming. So what do? I have to go to meet him. Brothers and sisters, that's the attitude that we must embrace. We heard that Jesus is coming. Let's get ready to meet him. Let's move. But Mary stayed at home. Martha and Mary were so unique, so different to each other. When one was supposed to go, the other one stayed. When one was swallowed, they're always completely different from each other. And it says, even though they were sisters, they love each other. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, let me be negative a little bit here, even though that's not a good thing to be, but let me just negative a little bit. It's like she's reprimanding him. We send you the messenger when he was just sick. Why didn't you come? We can avoid all this pain if you had come. What was so important that you did not come? If you have been here, none of this would have happened. In other words, I came to my mind when I see this, is like Adam saying, oh, that woman there they gave me, that is the one, the problem. And the woman said, oh, you know, that little thing, that's the problem. At the end, they were all blaming God. She was indirectly blaming God for what happened. Why didn't you come? Sometimes we pray and things don't go the way we want. And sometimes it's, oh, that was not God's will. And we, even though we mean well, sometimes we are careless with our statement and we end up blaming God for what did not happen that we wish would happen in our lives. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. That is a wonderful confidence, isn't it? But even now, after the fact, I still believe that God can still do the work. But pay attention to what happens when they gave a command to move the stone. It looks like she forgot what she just said here. How many times we believe, we say we believe, and when it's the time for us to prove, we act differently. And then it says, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Excuse me? Everybody's been telling for the past almost 2,000 years, or even longer than that if we're not a Christian. Before Christianity was even established, that the people die, the body goes to the morgue, and the individual go somewhere. They are in a trip. And they get to some place, and I don't know, some of you here may like baseball. Anybody here likes baseball? You can confess. You know, light is not going to strike you if you raise your hand. When you watch baseball, they hit the ball, and if it flies out, I don't know if they are pulling towards the ball or to something else. Now, they are telling something that is somebody out there, they are saying, I dedicate this to you, or I did this because of you. They are always, it is in the mind of America, is in a culture, it's there. Everybody, even those that claim not to believe, and you'll be surprised that many times here, even our church, we speak and without realizing, we talk about the body and the soul. Have you ever heard a Seventh-day Adventist talk about the body and the soul? No. I have heard all the time. I hear pastors talking about the body and the soul. Why it is happening? Because we are being so bombarded by our culture that our culture is imprinting in us a lie and we don't even realize. We just go on living, repeating what is wrong. Your brother will rise again, meaning he is dead. Yes, Martha said, of course, I know he will rise When? No, there's something as after when. What it says there, after when? When everyone else, no one goes before somebody else. Everybody's going to go together because the one who comes to pick us up is only one. And there is only one time. Now, you may choose to be picked up in the first time that he comes or to be barbecued the second time. I advise you that the first time would be much better. You know, you don't want to be there in a second time. First, you're going to be rotten for a whole 1,000 years. And then after that, you're going to get up and fire was coming down and whew. It says, at the last day, when at the last day, you can go on your own, read John 5, 27, 28, 29, and Jesus says, I'll tell you a mystery. Everybody is going to come out of the grave. I have one individual, Catholic individual, that told me once that should we pray, pay the priest for the mass, the 7-day mass, every time a Catholic, a Roman Catholic dies, you know, the priest tell them you have to pay for the mass so that a dead beloved doesn't get lost on the, you know, his way to heaven. He end up sent to the purgatory. It's hot. Or to the place that is even hotter and forever, the hell. So for you not to go to hell or to the purgatory, you better pay the priest. Isn't that convenient? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd be that simple. You just get some dollars and your loved one skip purgatory and go straight to heaven. It's all, not only they lie that the person is moving to go somewhere, but they want you to pay the ticket. They lie that the person is going to the Bahamas and they make you purchase the ticket when the person have never left. So you're paying for the tickets for somebody who is still not going. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and life. What a wonderful time for him to reveal that part of his character, right? The dead is there stinking already. Smells bad. 4 days. And he comes and says, resurrection is here. Life is here. That is the best guess ever. Anyone who believes in me will live even after they die. Now, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Brothers and sisters, why don't you embrace this truth? And be confident, because it says, if you live in me, it didn't say believe in me. It says, believe and live in me. Because if you believe and you do not live in Christ, you're just like the devil. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. So believing doesn't make anybody safe. It is to live in him and believe in him. Believe. Okay? The two goes together. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, brother and sister? Oh, at least few of you do. Yes, Lord. She told him, yes, I do. But when the faith is going to be tested, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. So what happened then, Martha? What do we do with that faith of yours? Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher, the Messiah, the Son of God, the resurrection, life is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately, how quickly? Immediately went to see him. And then it continues, Jesus had stayed outside the village because they tried to kill him, remember? And the place where Martha met him. And so here it comes. When the people saw that Mary was leaving, they all decided, oh, she's going to go to see the brother. Let's all go there and let's continue our task, our responsibility. We need to go on. Ooh, crying. We have to be there. So let's go. We have been paid for. And so when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, they're just like the sister. The same thing. Sisters are alike. If you had been here, nothing this ever happened. So Jesus embraced both of them, comforted them. Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were also weeping, crying. And then his heart was troubled. Some versions will say he became angry. It doesn't make any sense in the context. So I look another version, and this version is more fitting to the whole story. So I chose this for this particular version. This is a Good News translation. The other rest, the one that I was reading, is from a New Living Translation. It says, Jesus saw that she was crying, that everybody was crying, so he was touched. That makes sense. And he was deeply moved. And then it continues. When it says, where have you put him? Here is a great opportunity for Jesus Christ. Says, where is the body? Why didn't he ask for the body? Brothers and sisters, why didn't Jesus ask for the body? Where is the body? Because he was not looking for nobody. He was looking for somebody. Okay, literally, if you want to put the two words together, it becomes nobody. If you want to separate it, nobody. He was asking for somebody because he says, even if you believe me, even if you die, you're not dead, you're just sleeping. Therefore, he was not looking for a body, he was looking for a person, his beloved friend. He asked them, where is he? They told him, Lord, come and see. Many people should get the same invitation, come and see. Then Jesus wept. This is one of the shortest verses of the Bible. Jesus wept. The only time is mentioned in the entire scripture that he did. The people who were standing nearby said, wow, see how much he really loved him? Wow, if he loved him so much, how come he was not here to 4 days ago when they were asked for him to come? Look what they're going to say. But some, don't you love some? Some always shows up. Every time when you are happy, some will show up to mess things up. I have noticed that some is all over the Bible. In my ministry, I met a lot of some. No, they are nobody. It says just some. It didn't say somebody, it says just some. But some shows up, and so they decide to, this man healed a blind man. I remember, I was there. Could he have kept Lazarus from dying? People that have every reason to be positive. There are, in a daytime, brothers and sisters, let me make a pause here. How many good things happen to you during the day? And you forget them just like that the moment that one bad thing happened. The moment that one bad thing happened, you drop everything positive, and here comes some. Some start speaking in your ears. And some convince you that that one bad moment is more important. It should consume more of your time than all the blessings that you got the whole day. You have a million blessings. One bad thing, and you pay all your attention to the bad thing. You have 1,000 people that are love you and are anxious to see you, but you pay attention to the one who said something nasty to you. We spend too much energy to think that it's not worth a thing. We spend a lot of our resources into nothing. And we sometimes are so consumed by nothing that we end up becoming nothing ourselves. Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. Why was that stone there? I'm asking you, why was that stone there? Anybody has an idea why they put that stone there? To keep the beasts out, right? Or if they didn't have that, the coyotes, everything will feast on his flesh. Or the bugs, is to keep the bad thing out. But that stone also was keeping Lazarus from coming out. How many times some stone have got between you and where you need to go? How many times some people have decided to become Mrs. Stone or Mr. Stone? And some people are stone, and they are stone. That's why they are in front of you. And right now it's legal in many places, so people get stoned all the time. Yeah, they become stones. Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave, and there was this stone in the entrance. And then Jesus said this, "Move that stone." There is a song in Portuguese that I wish that they will make it an English version of it, because it's a religious evangelical song that tells about Lord Jesus, they are trying to keep this stone in order to contain my dreams. They want to maintain me among the dead. I want to live. Please, Lord, allow this stone to be moved so that I may see the light. These are beautiful words. And they use this story about this stone that is blocking the separation between Lazarus and his friend. Outside was resurrection, was life, but behind the stone was death, darkness, and all the bugs feasting, eating. That's where the smell comes from, is the bugs are going to restaurant, to their kind of a restaurant. Move the stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, that's the same one who says, Lord, I know if you ask God, everything is possible. I know everything. Look what she says now. But Lord, it has been 4 days that he died. It stinks. It smells bad. And people, by the way, when they put those stones there, they didn't use some kind of a sophisticated coupling to keep the smell. You know, it was, if you come close enough to the stone, you could smell. It was bad. I remember I was training for, I was going to a hospital for some training. And one day I arrived in the hospital and there was this smell in the entire hospital. And I looked at the nurse and said, what in the world is this? And it says, a body was brought, has been most of it burned. And the smell was in our entire hospital, everywhere, outside, inside. It was just one human being that was half burned, dead. But the smell was unbearable. It was the worst smell that I ever heard. Smell in my life. It was bad. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory? Didn't I tell you? Why didn't you believe? She did. She was just human. So they rolled the stone aside because it says, move the stone. Now, imagine, I want you to imagine a little bit. Let's be creative. Imagine this man being told to remove the stone. I don't know if they did like this. I need some more help. Oh, I need some more help. I don't know if they did this because by the time they moved the stone, the first ones that felt the evidence of what Martha told was the one who was moving the stone because the smell was coming out. I know some of you are thinking, but by then probably Lazarus was already not decomposing anymore because he's already started the process of the miracle. No, not yet. When they moved the rock, the smell came out. And the people who moved the rock, they felt. And believe me, nobody there were more amazed and says, what is going to happen now? Then Jesus looked up to heaven and the smell kept coming out. Father, thank you for hearing me. Remember, this is all about the Father. You always hears me. Can we all say that? You always hear me. We need to have that confidence. When we go to God, if we know that He hears us, He does. But I said out of loud voice, and I said it out loud for the sake of those people staying here. I want you to reveal you to them. So they will believe you send me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, Lazarus, Lazarus. He didn't say that. He didn't say, come down. He didn't say, come out. What did he say? Come out of the grave, come forth. But how can he walk? He's all tied up. There are people outside that were more tied up than Lazarus himself. They were a slave of their own thoughts. And the dead man came out. Which man? So dead do walk. No, it was not a dead man that came out. It was a living man. Came out because dead do not walk. Even Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. That kind of dead, yes, we have some of them around. Even in office, we have some in the political office, we have a lot of. By the way, don't you love the campaign that is going on right now? You receive in your mail so many pictures. You must be famous now because you receive pictures of these very important people. People that are paying millions of dollars in order for you to get your vote. And some people there, in some corners, it looks like a cemetery because there are so many. I think they, instead of putting one single pole like this with a picture, they should put a cross. It is, you know, because this, that politicians, they want to be in office. And I'm not saying all of them because there are some good ones out there, but, there are a lot of bad stuff going on. We need to pray more than ever and vote. His hands and feet bound it, you know, because he was all tied up. He was tied up because he was dead. He was not tied up to be, you know, living people don't supposed to be tied up like this. His face was all wrong. He could barely see, but he came out. Jesus told them, unwrap him. And let him go. Now, two things here that Jesus asked them to do. Now, three. Show me where it is. I want to see where he is. They have. He could say, I know where he is. But he says, you show me. Because Jesus wanted them to be there. Then he says, move the rock so they could smell. So there's all that they need to be witness of what happened. So they need evidence. And then, as he walked out, he was tied. Jesus could have made a miracle for him to come dressed in the most, I don't know about fashion. I don't know what it could be, the most expensive suit that he could have come. Jesus could have given him a brand new suit. Under all those things that they had, a flesh was new, brand new. So he came out, and Jesus says, I wrapped him. So all the things that people need to do in order to stamp on their mind the miracle, they did. And brothers and sisters, we're almost done. He says, after all this, what did the Jewish people did? They decide, we need to kill him. We cannot afford to have a man going around like this, curing people, restoring vision of the people, give them a good feeling about forgiveness, about grace, show them who God is. We need to kill him. He needs to be dead. And they start, many of the people who were with Mary believing Jesus Christ, they are not part of the sum. But the sum were there. Look at that. But some went to the Pharisees and told them Jesus had done. We cannot afford to have him anymore. We need to destroy him. Have you noticed what our society is spending a lot of energy to destroy what is good in our society? Have you seen how much effort has been done? They want to keep the rock, that stone, blocking the way to life. Do you have a stone in your life right now that is blocking and robbing you the opportunity of have a relationship with the eternal life that Jesus Christ wants to give to you? That stone needs to be moved for God to work. So when the time, you know, and from the time on, the Jewish people decide we need to kill him. Next week when we talk about the Passover and the come over, you see more about this. Did you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders reject has now become the cornerstone. No church will stand when Jesus Christ comes unless the cornerstone is part of that church. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is the precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes needs never to be shaken, if that is the foundation of everything they chose to believe. Continue. This is one shocked one. It says, because what they decide to kill Jesus, Jesus is stopped his ministry. You'll be amazed, brothers and sisters, that sometimes it takes only one member to stop everything going in a church. Sometimes it takes only one stone to block everything. Don't be that stone. Be, like Jesus Christ, a cornerstone. And here comes the text that we'll talk about in Passover. So this is, they were looking for Jesus. They were asking everybody, please tell me where he is, because we want to get rid of him. Some people are looking for Jesus to destroy. Some people are looking for Christ because they want to live. I hope you're looking for Christ because you want to live. Make sure that whatever you think, it is not things of this earth, but things from above. Amen. And the final verse is this one. I'm looking, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me to repay all people for their actions, the actions that they deserve to be paid for. May the God bless you. And please be a good individual, not a stone on somebody else's path. If somebody needs encouragement, this is the time for you to lift their hands up and invite them to come to Jesus Christ. He is resurrection and eternal life. Now this week, there will be a lot of people talking about evil spirits. So please don't be part of it. Let's stand. And